We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The rush to the line. Jones fakes the spike and gets sacked on the play. Jerry Hughes was not faked.
From the right side of your screen, he sees the fake. It just runs around Trent Brown to get to the quarterback in the pocket.
It will be 30 seconds. Please set the game clock. 30 seconds.
That wave was come on. You're really not trying that, are you?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I actually forgot about that play.
You did, didn't you?
In the mess.
That was probably one of my favorite plays. That was an under-the-radar, like, great bad play. So what happens is they're trying to, you know, obviously it's the end of the first half, and they're trying to get some points, get in field goal range. It's a third down play, and they gotta clock the ball because they don't have any timeouts. Where Mac is obviously, you know, giving a signal that nobody has seen before, that we haven't seen all year. So you kind of feel like something's up. Well, it's a fake spike play. The only problem is the only person that knew it, I think, was Mac and whoever the wide receiver was running the route, because Trent Brown didn't block Jerry Hughes, and Brandon Bolden was in the hip position. He didn't block Jerry Hughes.
I would say that if you're trying to get the defense to believe you're truly going to spike it, then you should use the traditional
spike signal, not something else.
Not high knees.
It's closer to the LeBron James where he pushes both
exactly.
hands down.
Exactly.
It's like a fake spike, but his knees were flying up in the air, and even your defense, you're like, hey, what is that? Like, if he does the fake spike symbol, the traditional one, somebody might actually fall for it.
It was so telling.
But when you call something else that isn't an obvious fake spike signal.
Your antenna go up, and you go, they're trying to fool us.
They're going to do something.
Yeah, so Jerry Hughes, he blitzes, he rushes, and he sacks him. Oh, it was like, at that point in time, I was like, what else can go wrong?
Oh, my God. So, Bill Belichick, after the game, talking about this loss and where he puts it.
Yeah, well, Chris, I think, you know, we have to take a good long look again, not at just one game, but at all 18, and... you could argue that there were elements of last night's game and some other games, but you're right. Last night's game was the least competitive game that we played last year. So,
last year,
you pick that. Yeah, you pick up on that. Like it's like a day after
competitive game we played last year.
He's always got to be right because technically the year is over. But technically, it really is.
This morning. So,
yeah, it was
right?
This morning with Curtis. The Chris Curtis show.
No, that wasn't the Curtis show.
It was Chris Curtis show.
No, it was Sunday.
Featuring Wiggy.
No, it wasn't. It was Sunday after the game. So he had already moved on. Least competitive game we played last year. So yeah, he's already moved on. But yet when they ask him about it, he's like, they're still looking back at film on. They ask him about the offseason. Well, we're still looking film on Buffalo. But he was on the Greg Hill show with Curtis this morning.
No, it's the Chris Curtis show.
Oh, okay. The Chris Curtis show, yes. Whatever it might be. And just basically, again, just reiterated like the issues that this team had against Buffalo on Saturday night.
That particular game, we just really couldn't keep up with Buffalo offensively. We had a hard time making, you know, plays to get off the field and second and long and third and long. Just really weren't able to defend them well enough. Turned the ball over a couple times on offense, missed some opportunities to convert, had a couple of penalties that hurt us. Just generally didn't play as aware and alert or as well as I think we're capable of playing. And then that, you know, of course, some of that responsibility rolls back to, you know, myself and the coaching staff that we've got to do a better job of, you know, getting the team to perform better. You know, just collectively, we just came up short, well short.
So the whole keeping up, like we couldn't keep up with them.
For that game.
No. it was obvious. That goes back to our previous conversation about just how slow they look. And is it purely just because you had depth issues in your secondary? You had guys that were normally, you know, healthy scratches like Juwan Williams and Miles Bryant, even though he wasn't really a healthy scratch, but he's just, you know, and that's my point. So they couldn't, of course they couldn't. Every time there was like a big play, I was like, it was either Miles Bryant, Juwan Williams, or the other two guys that they brought up from the practice squad.
But I would say, like, you know, not just that game you're having issues stopping this team. I mean, again, people have been talking about it. Like, your last four games against Josh Allen, the guy's got, you know, 67 completion percentage, over 1,087 yards, 13 touchdowns and zero picks. The last four times you've played him, you know, you got a 122 quarterback rating against the New England Patriots. The last four times you've played him, actually, he's 5-1 when you look back at the last 2 years. And the only game you slowed him down had nothing to do with your personnel; had everything to do with the weather. Like, the only reason why you slowed him down up in Buffalo and beat him was because of a hurricane.
Well, what about that big giant, that awesome end of the game play that Miles Bryant had, Lou, where he knocked the ball down? Well, that was a clutch play by Miles Bryant.
That was like 5 yards behind the receiver. But you know what I'm saying.
I know.
Even in that game, that's the only game you've won. So I would say you have a problem catching up to him, keeping up with him, period.
Period.
You know, you've been, I think it was outscored. Like, average score, 32-15 in the last four games. You know, and not only those offensive numbers that I was talking about with Allen, like 13 touchdowns, zero picks. He's also had 28 carries for 184 yards in those games. 6.6 yards a carry. See, that Buffalo Bills team, to me, a lot better than I thought. And I know, whatever, earlier in the year I was calling them fraudulent. But if you remember, after they lost the Patriots, remember we said that second half against Tampa Bay? The way they came back, it kind of showed you something. And then they started to run the football. Then all of a sudden, Singletary's getting 18 to 22 carries a game. All of a sudden, Josh Allen's running the ball more. And the reason why I never believe it, because they don't run. They don't even attempt to run. Well, the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've been running the football. And they ran it right through you. You know, I've been running it right through a lot of teams lately, which is one of the reasons why I think they're a much more complete team. Bill Belichick, actually, Curtis had asked him.
Pleasure to be here, Richard. Thank you for having me.
About his future, talking about his coaching future.
Bill, yesterday you made it clear that you intend to come back and coach the 2022 season. Is that something where you're year to year on that, where you sort of decide at the end of each season if it's something you want to continue to do? And how would you describe your relationship as it stands today with Robert and Jonathan Kraft?
Yeah, look, I never said any of that, so don't. That's not what it is. You know, I was asked a question and I gave an answer, so it's. You know, nobody ever said it was year to year or something else. Like, that was that. I never said that. So, yeah, look, I enjoy the job that I have and try to do everything I can to help the team. And that's, you know, that's what I've always done. That's what I'll continue to do.
Okay. So the big the way Curtis asked it is almost implying that he's coaching year to year.
Right, and that's what he shut down.
Yeah,
I never said that.
Yeah, so he's like, I don't know where that came from. But that was, I guess, the implication that Bill wanted to obviously correct. He obviously has a contract. He likes what he's doing. He's not going anywhere. And based on how many games away he is from Don Shula, I don't think he's going anywhere for the next 4 years.
No. He's got three more. What's he, 28 away?
He's 28 away. It's like three straight years of 10 wins. At least, which I think you're capable of.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going away. But I was curious because this last sound we have of him on this morning. Did you see David Andrews at the podium after that?
Yes,
game?
Yes, I did.
Like, he was struggling getting words out, almost to the point where, like, you know, I'm like, is he planning on retiring? Like, am I missing something? Like, right? Like Slater and McCourty and Hightower. Right. I understand if they're up there at that podium and they're starting to wonder, you know, if you know this is it for them. But Andrews was up there almost. Talking, you know, like that was it for him. And he actually talked, Belichick talked about describing the season and Andrews' comments.
Bill, David Andrews was pretty emotional after the game, talking about a finality of the season and how guys will retire and how, you know, while you may return some people, it will be a completely different team next season. Do you now have one word that would describe this season?
Oh, no. There's, no, this team went through a lot. And certainly there were a lot of, you know, changes at the beginning of the year. And, you know, we all grew together and all learned about each other and both on and off the field. You know, it was a journey. It's a long journey. I'm not going to be able to sum it up in one word. I understand David's emotions, and I know we all feel that way, that this team was, you know, there are a lot of special relationships on the team. Even though they may be similar, they'll never be duplicated. I totally understand those emotions, and I think we all have them.
So the part that stood out to me is, like, they've been through a lot. What was it, just new faces, this has nothing to do with Cam Newton, does it? The fact that you started a new quarterback, it seemed like everybody wanted Mac Jones to be the star. So
I think it was Bill trying to reset some things, you know, as far as, like, culture goes, right? After last year and what happened, you know, when you brought in all these free agents, when you have these rookies that you're going to rely on, when you have a rookie quarterback, you know, when you have guys coming back after missing an entire year, like Hightower, like, you're trying to reestablish something. And I think, you know, that was the excuse we gave this football team earlier in the year. You know, that, like, a lot of the uncharacteristic mistakes that they made, we said, well, we underestimated it. You know, a lot of times we've seen Patriots come out of the gate, good Patriot teams with veterans, 2-2. This one started 2-4, but hey, you know, you're trying to get Judah on the same page. And Henry, it might take a while. Jonnu Smith, the wide receivers. Think about it, all new wide receivers, basically, and new tight ends. You had a rookie running back, a rookie quarterback, second-year running back. You know, some new faces out in the secondary, some familiar faces at linebacker, but still getting back in the fold again. So I think that's the difficult times they had earlier in the year, and obviously 2-4. The problem is that they came out and finished the year exactly how they started. Although that game Saturday was different.
That game Saturday, I don't know where to put that game as far as the games that I've seen.
Epic
just
fail.
In general. As far as games, it's easily. Well, epic fail. Yeah,
I mean, there's no way.
There's F no way
minus.
To sugarcoat it.
I don't even know where
there's
else
no way.
Go with.
It's an F minus.
All right, let's get to the phone calls because you guys aren't happy about this game. 617-779-7937. Although Bob in Somerville, kind of looking as the future is bright. What do you say, Bob?
Well, first thing, Lou, I'm just hoping at some point you get over your giddiness, but.
Why would you think I'm giddy that the season is over?
Well,
you don't think I want him to play next week and the week after and get to a Super Bowl? I'm sorry that I was kind of realistic.
That's not why.
And it all came kind of true, but it is what it is, Bob. I'm not giddy.
Well, you're always right, Lou.
No, I'm not, but I was with this team.
Yeah, you were, actually. I agree with you on one point, that the 4th-and-1, I was screaming, just go for it. But it's not like 07 or 11 where I'm, like, seriously depressed. It's taken me 3 months to get over it. We knew it was a tall order going against Buffalo. And the truth of the matter is, I did think they had a chance to win, because why wouldn't I? They're the Patriots. But it was clear pretty much early on, whether Bolden catches that ball or not, I agree with Christian. They're not winning that game. But I got faith that Bill will restore the defense, make some moves, get that defense up to par, and we'll see what happens.
See, Bill, Bob, this is the thing. I just want to ask you a serious question, and because this is kind
serious.
Of where I kind of whatever. Like I look at you and I don't get it. When, like, how many years are you going to say they're going to win because they're the Patriots?
No.
How long are you going to keep doing that?
I didn't say it at all last year.
No, you said this. You said that you expect them to win on Saturday. You said expect them to win on Saturday because they're the Patriots. Like, how long do you keep doing that?
I was kind of hoping they would.
Okay.
I didn't really expect them to. I mean, I wasn't, like, delusional. In my mind, Buffalo has a pretty good football team.
Yeah.
We'll see what they do next. And, you know, good luck to them. I mean, they were our bitch for two decades, and we'll see how they do against Kansas City. But, yeah, I wasn't delusional. I was hoping they would win.
Okay, I appreciate the call. And, I mean, that's kind of...
Thank you for listening.
That's where I've pushed back, and that's where it gets people like Bob upset. You know, the Pats are going to go up, and they're going to win because they're the Patriots or because they have Bill Belichick. And you sort of sit there and say, okay, like, when are we going to stop saying that?
Based on what?
Like, when are we going to stop saying that? When, you know, we said that with Tom Brady. Like, I'm not saying it was all Tom Brady. I'm not getting back to that discussion, but you said it with the greatest quarterback of all time. But when are you going to... How many more years... before you stop saying they're going to just win because they're the New England Patriots. Because it's kind of been a little bit of a struggle here in the last couple of years. And I know they got to the playoffs. The other thing, too, is I want to get into Bill Belichick and the job he did this year. We had a caller earlier call up and say the GM, Bill the GM, is killing Bill the coach. I think this year, it's actually the other way around. We'll discuss it next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com. Now more of the guys. Maloney and Fourier on WEEI.
Start getting into the year that Bill Belichick had. Let's get to the calls. I want to go to Jim in New Hampshire. Apparently he was at the game. Jim, what's up?
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
What's doing up? Good.
Well, you're in a good mood. Good Bills, day, guys. Bills fan, huh?
Yeah, Bills fan. We made the trek out there for it. Been living in New England for over 30 years, and it's about time we got our opportunity, you know? It's nice to see us win out. I'll beat you guys up a couple times.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, we're very proud of you.
I appreciate it. You guys got one heck of a team, man. I'll tell you. That Mac, he's a good kid. He'll be a good
kid. Oh, listen to this guy. Oh, my God. He's a good kid.
Jim, I got to go. I can't handle it. I can't handle the
sarcasm.
I can't handle like the little pat in the head. Like, don't worry. You guys got a good little team down there.
Yeah. You can't let him have it.
Can't do it.
You can't let him have it at all.
No, can't. No, listen. They enjoyed it. You think about what was at stake, like how much they were panicking going into that game and how it's a complete 180 of emotions. You know, like
yeah,
you
was
lose
in the
we're
bag
talking
the
about.
Whole time.
You lose that game, and it's like Patriots still own you, but you demolished them, and it's all of a sudden it's like all those thoughts were never in their head going into that game. You know, now all of a sudden now
they play, we are the champions.
King of the East playing, we are the champions after that football game. Let's go to Dave in New Bedford quick. Dave, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, you want to know, me personally, I'm upset they got blown out. I wasn't expecting them to win. I thought it was going to be a 10-13 point win by the Bills anyway. I'm not really that upset. I got to be honest with you. Starting off 2-4 like you guys talked about, and then to come back and make the playoffs with a rookie quarterback, I'm okay. What I didn't like, I think Christian can maybe speak to this. Christian, did the defense seem confused? Did the defense seem like they really weren't sure what to do and who to go to? Because there was a lot of finger pointing going on.
No. You know what there was?
And that's what concerns me.
No. I think they knew exactly how to line up and where to go. I would point to guys chasing. A lot of defensive backs chasing. Guys in position to make tackles being juked. How about this? How about Christian Barmore, rookie? I know he's hurt, okay, but it doesn't exclude him from having Josh Allen, like a good grip on Josh Allen, and Josh Allen just ran through the tackle. This dude's 300-something pounds, and Josh Allen just ran right through him. He was in the right position. He knew what to do. I would even say Matthew Judon. He knew what to do. Jawan Williams knew what to do. They all know what to do. They're just not good at it.
It's just weird. I don't remember so many calls last week picking the Bills to win. Like, this is so strange. Like, every call we have is like, I didn't expect the Patriots to win. Like, everybody had the Patriots losing by 13. Did I miss? Was I out last week? I didn't get any of those calls. I didn't hear everybody calling in saying the Patriots were going to lose. This is so it's so different. Let's go to Chuck in Worcester. Chuck, what's up?
Yeah, I think the Patriots' problem is the D-line. I was watching the Frisco game against Dallas, and Frisco plays four legitimate defensive linemen. And, I mean, they rush the pass and they stop the run. And when the Patriots got like 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, the defense on the field, Belichick's got like two defensive linemen out there, and he's got Judon and some other linebacker.
Yeah.
Okay? They're getting pushed around. They got to go back to a four-man front.
Hmm. All right, Chuck, appreciate it. I think
I sure would like Nick Bosa.
Boy, defensively, you got to change a lot of stuff, don't you?
Can Nick Bosa suddenly, like, can we swap, like, Judon and Bosa?
Oh, jeez.
We'll throw in Chase Winovich, too.
Oh, no, I may keep him. Put his butt on the field.
No,
if you're needing
Uche.
Speed, I mean, people get irritated with Winovich. You know, but he is faster than anybody they got out there.
Akubuku, which is God willing.
You got to deal with that, though.
What happened to Uche?
Who?
Yeah, Josh
exactly.
Uche. What happened? I mean, just what happened? It's funny. When you have a really good draft and it's like Stevenson, Mack, and Barmore, and you're like, yeah, these guys are studs. And the previous 4 years, it was like, can't judge a draft after year one. Right? Got to wait till year two, year three at least.
Well, they before you judge, good players.
Judge a draft. That's when you know you got a horse bleep draft, when you got to wait 3 years to judge it. You finally had a good draft. That's what a good draft looks like. You had three guys playing
Listen,
well.
Ronnie Perkins is going to dominate next year.
Give him 3 years. Guys, you got to be patient. Remember, they redshirt the guys. Yeah, if they're not any good. Let's go to Jake in Boston. Go ahead, Jake.
Gentlemen, right? The game was over on Tuesday night when Bill gave them the day off, much less Wednesday when they were out on the town. Listen, 2 hours before pregame, this sums up the night. Adrian Phillips posted his cleats, and he dubbed them his Ghostwriter Pick 6 cleats. And it was also the first time that Linda Holiday posted pregame. But beside that, because this was ugly on Saturday.
Social media distractions.
The franchise is at a... Yeah, there were a lot of distractions, okay. if you want to be honest. This franchise is at crossroads, though, because given what happened in Dallas, if I'm Bob Kraft, I'd be desperately calling Jerry Jones to see if you can fleece him and send Bill down there and see if you can get, you know, three firsts out of him. Ooh. Or two firsts and 2 seconds. And then I'd call John Mara and do the same and see if someone will take on your 70-year-old head coach and his two Tweedledee, Tweedledum kids. We don't know what they are, but they have way too much power. They are literally the dictionary for white privilege at this point. Ooh. With Britt Reid. And there's no justification for building a roster around trying to make them look good, which is what you're doing now. It's why Devin McCourty was here. It's why you brought Van Noy back. Dante Hightower should have never been on this team, and anyone who paid attention to him in preseason knew that.
You should have ended with the Tweedledee, Tweedledum joke.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. I know you're following social media, and you got a very distracted team, but I do want to talk about Bill. I'm not going to trade Bill. Not moving on for Bill. Not firing Bill. Okay, none of that. But I would say, have you heard this debate before? Like the Bill, the GM is killing Bill, the coach. We talked about that. Like that's popped up, right? That phrase has popped up over the last 3-4 years, right? I would say this year it's the other way around.
Bill, the coach has hurt Bill, the GM.
Bill, the GM had a better year than Bill, the coach. And you guys discussed this on Saturday, right? But nobody,
they
thought you were nuts.
Well, the discussion was, so when Andy Hart came in on Thursday, he kind of sprung this on us.
Yeah.
This whole, like, this has been Bill's worst coaching year
We talked about it the first 4 or 5 weeks. We gave it somewhat of a, get reacclimated. And they played great. We're like, okay, Bill, turn this thing around quickly. What a great coaching job. But the last 4 out of the 5 weeks at the end of the year kind of brings it all back again and says, hold on. The majority of the year, this was a poorly coached team, correct?
Well, listen, I think it's fair. I mean, listen, again, I brought this up to these guys, to Keith, Gresh, and Wiggy on Saturday during our pregame show. And I think they were floored by the even notion of it. Like Wiggy's opinion was poor coaching shows up in like game management issues.
Just
like
the clock.
Like the clock
timeouts.
Management.
That's it.
Go for it on fourth down. That
Explain
type of stuff.
Explain that to me.
So bad coaching doesn't exist where offsides and penalties and bad decision making by a player were hell. If that's what we're going under, then can I please work underneath you as a coach? Because I'll never be blamed for anything. I'll never be blamed for missing a block. I'll never be blamed for dropping a pass, running the wrong route, jumping off sides, pulling somebody's face mask, holding penalty. I'll never be blamed for anything. Hell, it's not my fault. It's the coach's fault. It's amazing. So I think you can look at it and easily see, even if you just want to use this game, did they look ready?
No,
Bill actually said earlier. I think it was Sunday, where he said like he's got to do a better job of getting his team ready to play. The coaches have to do a better job of getting the team ready to play. They weren't ready to play. Well, you know what? Jalen Mills is in there. Jonathan Jones is hurt. I got to coach. I got to start Juwan Williams. I got to play Miles Bryant. They're not good. You remember when we used to rip the tight end that was here that was just so bad, and everyone was ripping him like crazy. I can't remember what his name was.
From Indianapolis never caught a pass or just blocked?
He just blocked.
Dwayne Allen.
No, it was last year's guy. Ossie. No, that's another guy.
Okay,
good.
The
point
on.
Is
Matt
is that,
Lacoste.
No, move
no,
on.
Another guy. Give me another one.
Yeah,
the point is that.
Dalton Keene.
Nope, another guy. The point is that these guys, you're asking them to do something that they're not even capable of. You're asking B, C-level players to play at an A level when they're not physically talented enough. But, so why should I be mad at the coach for that? I they're physically getting beaten. But if you get punts blocked, if you're Jakob Johnson and you jump off sides, if you're Mac Jones, hey, who told you? Okay, one, who told you to call that fake spike? And then who told you to execute it that way?
All I'm saying is, Jakob Johnson, you mentioned it, false start, okay, on a pass. Like the fullback had a false start on a pass play. You know,
for a series, Lou.
The Patriots had 12 men in the huddle in this game.
Substitution issues.
You know, the Hyde returned punt, I think, in like the fourth quarter, where it bounced like four times and then ran for 42 yards after that, punt return. It's I don't even know how it's debatable. Like, I'm not saying he's lost his fastball, okay? And part of it is probably maybe because his staff is too green around him. But this football team this year was the most poorly coached football team we've seen under Bill Belichick. The mistakes.
There's just a lot of evidence.
Just look at special teams. So maybe he's got a bad special teams coach. Maybe Cam McCord is not a good special teams coach. Okay. Like, just the miscommunications, just everything. The stupid penalties. And we talked about before, and people don't want to put any of that blame. Even when the Patriots don't commit any penalties or costly ones or don't ever turn the football over, we give credit to Bill. But when they turn the ball over and commit stupid penalties, we blame the players. So it's got to be one or the other. So I do think a lot of it has to do with his coaching staff, to be perfectly honest.
I don't think you can ignore the fact that that's legitimate. This is not a troll
job. But how is it even debatable when you look at this football team, the way they played for about half the season, at the beginning of the year and the end of the year?
I don't think.
How many times can you say uncharacteristic mistakes?
That was my point the other day. Like, we've said this. Okay, so things that we've said way too many times to show that it's not just an accident. It's a trend. It's a way of doing business. Uncharacteristic and first time ever by a Bill Belichick team, fill in the blank.
Right.
First time ever. Like, look at Mike McCarthy. Okay, look at Mike McCarthy. That team has 14 penalties in a playoff game at home. One of the main reasons why they're the most penalized team in the NFL. Even when the Dallas Cowboys played you here, they had a ton of penalties. It kept you in the game. Now, if that was anybody else, that's all on Mike McCarthy. Like, if the roles were reversed and Mike McCarthy was coaching this team, we would be ripping Mike McCarthy for not getting through to his team, not coaching them, not telling them enough, not explaining things to them. But no, Bill gets a pass. But Mike McCarthy is blamed for all of it.
Oh yeah, he's an idiot. And a lot of it has to do with his past. And Bill should get the benefit of the doubt. You know, but we were talking before about whether it's success or not. So when you think about this football, you found a quarterback in the draft, right, that everybody loves, unless people don't want to give him too much credit because it makes Bill look bad. But you found a quarterback that can play in this league. You have probably the two, as far as just a running back tandem in the league. Hell, Pro Football Focus said Damian Harris, the best running back in the NFL. And Stevenson's the best rookie running back in the NFL. So you got great running backs. You have a good offensive line. We talk about the money you spent in the offseason. Most of it was to get good players. And last year's team won 7 games. And we said it was the best job Bills might have done in a while, one of them. Because I think it was a 4-win roster. And he got them to 7 wins. Like, this team here, if you hit on so much, then why'd you look like you did the first 6 weeks and look like you did the last 5? Like, that's 11 weeks.
Got to do a better job of getting the team to perform better.
Like, you sprinkle in the Jets game early and the Jacksonville game late, but the other games in that fold, blocked punts, stupid penalties, 12 men in the huddle. Like, just...
Lou, do you remember, like, if this was the Raiders...
Makes no sense.
If the same things were happening to the Raiders, we would be ripping the Raiders for being stupid and not listening to their
Jets
coach
being poorly. The Jets being the Jets.
The Dallas Cowboys being coached poorly. If Bill had that team, they wouldn't make those mistakes. I don't know. I know is that coaching is part of the reasons why the Dallas Cowboys had 14 penalties.
I don't think it's like it should be hard for you to say that Bill Belichick's a great coach. However, this year's team was one of the most poorly coached teams we have seen in a long time. You know, again, we talk about the Red Sox. I think Cora's a good coach. He ain't Bill. He ain't as good as Bill. But that team last year looked like a poorly coached baseball team. They couldn't do anything fundamentally correct. But he's a good coach. So how do you explain it? I don't know, but it's the same thing here with the Patriots. This is a poorly coached football team. Like, for a lot of the year. And you know, he had a bad year. And I do think it had probably more to do with maybe a green special teams coach who can't figure it out. Maybe a green defensive coordinator or defensive line coach or you name it. Like, give me the category where you're sitting there saying, like you look at a guy like Ivan Fears, right? Veteran coach, Right? His running backs fumbled early in the year. Guess what happened after that?
They didn't fumble.
They never fumbled
again.
You know what else happened?
I'll tell you what else happened. They couldn't pick up a blitz to save their life.
And then what happened?
They started picking up the blitz.
Good coaching.
He coached them out of it.
Good coaching.
Okay, so, and I would also say
how long have you been in the league?
40 years.
All right, not two? Not a year and a half?
40 years.
Not a year and a half? Not two? So that's what I mean. You look at it and you're like, ah, oh, Jesus. Like, it was.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
it's
more than.
Look at the way they played.
Forget about telling a team, hey, this is what to expect on fourth and one. I believe that they're probably the most prepared team in the NFL when it comes to here's all the things that you need to be ready for. Here's what you need to look out for. Here's what we're going to – like, they're prepared. Like, for any situation that comes up, I believe that they're probably one of the most prepared teams. So, here, I provided you all the information.
So, what happened?
Okay. So, but then the game starts, you jump off sides. You shorten your route. You throw it into double coverage. You forget to, to make a tackle. Like, you don't prepare yourself. You're not ready to play the game. Like, it felt like, offensively, I felt like they were ready to play, okay? I think Mac Jones, I felt like just the scrambling alone, I think he realized that they were going to need a lot from him. So he was going to have to run more than he normally would, and he'd have to run with conviction. He was. Brandon Bolden drops the ball. Jonnu Smith thinks he's playing defense. He knocks down the passes to Jacoby Myers.
He made a great play on that.
It was an excellent play. Got a fingertip on it.
Great D.
And Nelson Aguilar runs a really good route. But I feel like the ball should go outside. That should go outside. That should be a fade. Aguilar leaves him space, leaves himself about 3 yards. That's a fade route. The safety's playing it over the top. Even if he's not in a position to intercept it, you got to throw it away from him.
There's more examples, Lou, than being
a bad coach than a good coach.
I just think you ask yourself, I mean, how many times have you watched this team and seen uncharacteristic mistakes? I've never seen a team coached by Bill Belichick make mistakes like this team has. And Saturday, forget about it. Just throw that one out. Like that had those mistakes, there was a couple of them mixed in there, but it wasn't like we saw throughout the year. That was just an embarrassing moment.
Have you ever seen
ready to play.
Real quick, Bill Belichick, 12 men in the offensive huddle?
12 men in the huddle.
I mean, this year. No, a lot.
And again,
that's 12 men in the offensive huddle.
That's Josh McDaniels, too. I'm just talking about everybody, the whole team. Like, the whole coaching staff. That was just a bad coach team this year, the whole staff.
Yeah,
and unfortunately for Bill, he's the head coach. He oversees all of it.
It was really cold on Saturday.
Oh,
really, really cold.
Okay. Let me go to Rich and Natick, who's got a thought on this poor coaching point. Go ahead, Nick. Rich.
Lou, what makes you say, why are you so convicted in saying, like, you can't move on from Bill Belichick? Well, why not? Bill Belichick has been the coach for the Patriots for what? Without Tom Brady, he's been in the coach of the Patriots for 4 years now, right?
Yes, early, late.
2000, 2008, 2000, last year, and then this year, right?
Yeah.
No playoffs. His whole record before that with Cleveland.
Made the playoffs this year,
100%.
Rich.
But they made the play one and done and spent how much money in the offseason?
So you want to move on from him.
Oh, my. Well, what's showing me I shouldn't? I think Brady was the complete equalizer of all his screw-ups. He can't evaluate talent. But Brady's on, winning Super Bowls, having the second best year of his life.
See, Rich, okay, listen. Okay, just for everyone out there listening, I don't agree with Rich, and thanks for the call. I mean, you've had a good draft this year, brought in some good players this year. I'm not ready to move on from Bill. I'd like for him to bring some adults in the offseason to this coaching staff. That's what I would like.
The thing I heard Sunday, which made me want to be sick to my stomach, was, hey, Joe Judge is available. Let's get Joe Judge back in the building.
He's a good special teams coach.
Why do you want Joe Judge back in this building?
Special teams.
Course you do.
Everybody comes back, Ryan. Take anybody else.
Everybody comes back. Say this. He won't be speaking to the media. Okay.
Well, I have a problem.
Don't worry
with that
about then. It.
If you're going to bring him back, you should at least let him talk to the media.
I just want some adults in the building. That's all. You know what I mean? That's all. I just, bring some adults back. Because as a coaching staff, whatever, the entire coaching staff, and like I said, he's the head coach, he oversees everything. It's an awful year for them. Mistakes we've never seen from this team before.
I want to touch on this this Craig comment, but I feel like I should wait because I do have curious to know what he has to say about this rebuild. Because you mentioned this earlier in the show about this rebuild and, where they are, where they should be, and all the money that they spent. You want to take him now and then afterwards?
No, we'll do it next. We'll talk more about this Patriots team. Where are you at with this Patriots team after this loss? That was a tough one on Saturday. Give us a call, 617-779-7937. We'll do it next on Marloni and Foria.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, real quick before we get to some of these calls, Adrian Phillips, I guess, talking to the media. I saw this from Mark Daniels. Physically, we were there. Mentally, we weren't in the right space to make those plays. Buffalo was. Their offense was there mentally and physically. So the Patriots weren't in the right place mentally?
Yeah, that's weird. Like, so is it they weren't in the right place mentally? Like, they didn't know what to do, who to take, what angles to drop at?
Kind of sounds
or
like
were they just
where they were coming off a bye in Indy.
Well, like, yeah,
we
like
there mentally.
No, no, no. Oh, we felt sorry for ourselves. Remember that?
Yeah.
Is that something to it? How about this one from Mike Giardi? Another quote from Adrian Phillips. Well, I'm amazed someone didn't grab a hook and grab him out of the interview chair because he's being all sorts of honest right now. He says the season definitely did change after the bye week. Felt like defense wasn't dominating like it had been earlier, but it's too soon to say why. Still felt like we proved a lot of doubters wrong, blah, blah, blah. But so he's admitting that it did change after the bye week, and maybe because they weren't dominating, or maybe because they were playing better teams,
maybe because
they mentally were feeling sorry for themselves. Well, I don't think you can deny that there's obviously something there.
No, I agree. But you could sit there and say you also started playing teams that had some of their weapons, you know, on offense, unlike the last 4 or 5 weeks, or a hurricane to save your defense.
Does that explain why Jakob Johnson got beat by some guy on a punt block?
No.
I mean, like, he just didn't. Did it explain why Mac was throwing stupid interceptions? Or why the defense was in a position to make a stop in the fourth quarter, and neither one of the captains and veterans couldn't, neither one of them could make the play?
Yeah, I don't get it. I want to go to Craig.
Yeah, go to Craig real quick.
Craig in Connecticut. What's up? You're on with Lou and Christian. Go ahead, buddy.
How you doing, man? I love you guys.
What's up, Craig?
I don't expect an I love you back. Don't feel obligated. I'm sorry.
I love you,
but,
Craig.
I
kind of like you.
I appreciate that. All right.
You got a great personality, Craig.
Go ahead, buddy.
All right, let's go.
All right, awesome. That sounds good. First of all, I want to say the whole thing about getting rid of Bill is ridiculous. Mm. I mean, that's totally... And I mean, obviously there's been a poor coaching job done this year, but, you know, there's been very uncharacteristic penalties, which has been said many times. But, I mean,
Your comments about sick of hearing about the Pats rebuild. What do you have to say about the rebuild?
Oh, well, I mean, a lot of it does have to do with the rebuild, but even besides that, I like Mac Jones. I think he's looked pretty steady out there, but every loss they could have easily had a few more wins this season. I mean, you know, there was pretty much all their losses were all very hard fought losses. They fought to the last minute. I mean, but last Saturday's loss was, I mean, that one really, that one upset me more than any I've seen in a while, just because of it. It just seemed like the effort wasn't even there. You know, usually,
yeah.
Whenever we lose, you know, it's usually we always have hard fought losses. There's never, you know, so I don't.
All right, Craig, listen.
I waited a whole break for that.
We appreciate
Craig.
You.
Yes.
But, you know,
that wasn't what I thought he was going to say.
And here's the point about, like, the poor coaching. Can't you sort of look at uncharacteristic mistakes and a poor coaching job by this football team as the reason why they didn't have two more wins? This team probably should have been a number one seed. I don't think you would have believed in them.
Well,
but as far as
two,
a regular season goes, think about how many games there were, you know, block punt touchdowns. You know, just stupid.
See, my thing was, mistakes. You know, when I read the comment, it said sick of, I felt like he would say he's already sick of rebuild talk. Like, he wants it to happen already.
It ain't over.
Like, no, and I wanted to do something because we mentioned, like, it is a rebuild, okay? But everyone's kind of, they've been just so, you know, spoiled with success. They've never been through a rebuild. How do they know? How do you know what a rebuild is? You have no idea. You've never been through one because it's 21 years of success. So just use the Bills as an example. So when Sean McDermott was hired back in 2017, he took over for Rex Ryan. They went 9-7. They went to the playoffs. They took on the Jaguars. They lost. They lost
10-3.
10-3.
No touchdowns by Buffalo.
The next year they go 6-10. Okay, the honeymoon's over. Then the next year after that, they go 10-6 and they lose 22-19 in overtime to the Texans. It's Josh Allen versus Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson had an unbelievable play to actually end up winning that game. So that's 2 out of the 3 years. You got a decent record, but you still haven't won a playoff game. Sure enough, the fourth year in Sean McDermott's year, they go to the they lose in the AFC Championship to the Chiefs, 38-24. Your offensive coordinator is now offensive coordinator of the year. So that's what a rebuild looks like. It's frustration. It's it's failure. It's success. There's a lot of emotions involved with it. But there's a rookie quarterback with a new coach that completely transformed this team. Like, so just for the record, you don't go to the AFC Championship the very first year. It doesn't happen in a rebuild, especially if you agree with Lou. When Lou said back in August that this didn't get them over the top, it just brought them to a baseline that most teams are used to. That's your words.
Bottom even talent.
Bottom even.
All the money they spent, bottom even.
It didn't make, they were so low and so defunct of talent that they needed to spend so much money just to get back to base to a competitive team.
Okay.
Well, that's competitive is 10-7. You won more than you lost. You beat the crappy teams. You battled with the really, really good
rebuild
teams.
Obviously isn't over yet.
No, it's 3 years. You're two years away.
Now you got to completely rebuild your defense.
You got to go all over again.
You got to start your linebackers and go out. Your linebackers and secondary have to be completely rebuilt. Like, you might lose J.C. Jackson. You might lose Devin McCourty. All your linebackers are old and slow. You know, I mean, you spent all that money and had a really good draft, and yet you need linebackers out on your defense. You might like your front line. That's it. You got to kind of rebuild everything because J.C. Jackson is a free agent. So you're going to have to pay him whatever, not what you pay him this year. You're going to have to, franchise him for what, $16, $17 million or pay the man. So you got to buy him back, and other guys like McCourty might be gone. Like, I like Kyle Duggar. I like Adrian Phillips. But is like coverage their strength as safeties?
Well, the one-armed man, Kyle Duggar, strong with a bowling safeties. Ball attached to his hand is not the best, most ideal situation.
No, replacing McCourty is difficult, too. Yeah. So the whole rebuild that you're in right now, it's like, okay, but you're like half done. You got to rebuild an entire defense linebackers.
And I wouldn't even be surprised if they got worse, if their record was worse next year. Like, I guess I have a better understanding because for 7 years, I tried to make the playoffs in one city for the Seattle Seahawks. Didn't make the playoffs until, the fifth year, and we lost. Like, people are looking at Derek Carr. It was, like, his eighth year, and he finally made the playoffs, and he loses. It's like, man, it took one playoff appearance in 7 years. Mm. So, for most people, that's what it looks like. And there's, like, a handful of teams that have good runs. Mm.
Listen, we'll address that as well. You guys are lined up. I do want to take a look at some of the games here this week and kind of review where we stand in our standings.
Is that good
in our playoff bet, whatever we call it, season-long playoffs bets? And the loser actually has to put the Borat Mankini and do the polar plunge, me, you, and Fitzy.
Yep.
Let's take a quick look at where we stand in the standings going into this one game here tonight. Take a look at a couple of games as well. We'll do that next on Maloney and Fourier.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.